What it takes to make a computer in the U.S. of A. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Trump is due at a factory in Austin, Texas today, where Apple assembles the Mac Pro, a line of pricey, high-powered desktop computers. While many parts for those machines are sourced in the U.S., most Apple production remains overseas. The Trump visit comes after Apple won exemptions in September from tariffs on some specific parts, Marketplace's Sabri Venishore reports.
Thousands of companies have applied to get out of tariffs on parts or products they bring in from China. Only around 31% of requests have been approved. Nicole Bivens-Collins is a lawyer with Sandler, Travis & Rosenberg, PA. She's represented clients driven out of business entirely by tariffs, but who have been rejected. And she says it's not clear why some companies win.
I feel like we're kind of in a black hole.
Where even light cannot escape, Apple seems to have found a way through. And that has a lot to do with CEO Tim Cook.
Cook's really become a pseudo ambassador in this U.S.-China trade battle.
Dan Ives is a managing director at Wedbush Securities. Tim Cook has cultivated an ongoing relationship with President Trump, despite policy differences, and it appears to have paid off. Ives says Apple still needs to get out from a new round of tariffs hitting December 15th, and the president's factory tour sets the stage for that to happen.
I think this is all part of a soap opera that ultimately seems like it might have a good ending for Apple.
If Apple doesn't get exemptions from these tariffs, Ives says it would be a gut punch to the company. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Those hoping for de-escalation of the U.S.-China trade war are feeling out of sorts today. The president raised the possibility of still higher tariffs at a cabinet meeting yesterday amid an apparent impasse. Also, the Senate unanimously passing a statement in support of democracy in Hong Kong. Under U.S. law, Hong Kong has special trade and commerce status, but the idea that that might even be reviewed has rankled Beijing. Target stock is up more than about 8% right now. Profits out today were much higher than expected, and the company raised its outlook. The ability to pick up at the store when you buy online has been working, and the little stores in cities and near campuses are panning out. Unlike Kohl's yesterday, let's get more on the market vibe today by bringing in Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors in Chicago. Buongiorno.
Good morning.
Well, help me make sense of this. Home Depot and Kohl's, they did not have great earnings and their outlook is not looking great. Yet, some of the other retailers are doing well.
That's right. So Home Depot and Kohl's, a little bit disappointing or a lot disappointing, depending on your perspective yesterday. But some positive news from TJ Maxx and Target this morning, raising guidance. So remember that we have a shifting population base. Millennials are surging and they are spending their money in different ways. As people move through and take advantage of the disruptive technology now, we're looking at different ways to shop. A lot of people are going to continue to increase their online shopping as we go into this holiday season, and we're seeing a clear distinction between which retailers and which style of shopping they prefer.
And savvy consumers may choose to play the fact that there are fewer shopping days between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year.
That's right. The American consumer is very smart, and they know that we're going to get sales around holidays. Therefore, wait until those sales hit before you start shopping. This year, retailers are going to have a harder time with it. We have fewer shopping days between Thanksgiving and Christmas. This year, there are only 26. Last year, there were 32. That's 6 days less to collect money from consumers. And so they're going to be promoting those sales early and often, trying to build traffic and make up for those lost days.
All right. That's Susan Schmidt. She's head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Democrats who want to be president debate tonight in Atlanta. Georgia Democrats say their state is now a 2020 campaign battleground. They argue Democrats can win there with the help of national campaign resources, but they first have to persuade the national party to send the money because Republican control of many of the levers of state government there are on many people's minds. From Atlanta, Susanna Capilouto reports.
Georgia's most prominent Democrat, Stacey Abrams, has no doubt her state is a battleground where Democrats can win in 2020.
yes, we're there. The issue is, do we have the resources?
Abrams lost her gubernatorial bid last year by about 55,000 votes. Since then, Georgia has registered more than 300,000 new voters, many young and diverse.
We absolutely need money.
Nkema Williams is head of Georgia's Democratic Party.
But we're not waiting for anything to happen. The Democratic Party of Georgia is already organizing. We're already on the ground.
Williams wants national Democratic groups to invest here because the Trump super PAC, America First Action, has placed Georgia among six states where it plans to spend money. And Republicans here still control all statewide offices.
I still believe that we're probably a little more red than purple.
Eric Tenenblatt is a Republican strategist. He worked as chief of staff for Georgia's former governor, Sonny Perdue, who is now Secretary of Agriculture.
But I understand why Democrats are trying to play up the competitive nature of Georgia, because they want to get more money here.
The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee has labeled Georgia an emerging battleground. So has the consulting firm Advertising Analytics. It predicts potential campaign ad spending here at $48 million. Mainly because of two U.S. House and Senate races. Emory political scientist Andra Gillespie says Georgia could attract even more money, but that will depend on who will become the Democratic presidential candidate.
There are a lot of reasons to look at Georgia to put it on that list of emerging purple states. But that moniker is going to get updated over time depending on what the data indicate. And we just don't have that data yet.
Advertising Analytics says in 2016, the presidential race brought just about $230,000 ad dollars to Georgia. Compare that to the $52 million spent by both sides in the battleground state of North Carolina. In Atlanta, I'm Susanna Capoluto for Marketplace.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.